Many people over the years have tried to show how seriously they take the Bible by saying they have to take it literally. But over the years, folks who have taken the Bible literally have caused a great deal of harm and pain to whom Jesus is and to the purpose that the Bible was written for in the first place. The Bible, our Bible, is actually made up of 66 books in the Protestant canon called the New Revised Standard Version of the Bible. In the Catholic Bible, the Roman Catholic Bible, right here at Holy Trinity across the street, there are 73 books in their Bible. And there are 81 books in the Ethiopian Orthodox Bible. And those books, whether they're in the Catholic tradition or the Protestant tradition or in that Orthodox tradition, are books that were written over thousands and thousands of years and contain various types of literature. For example, there are poems in the Bible, such as the Song of Solomon. Still others are letters, like Paul's, to his constituents, to his congregants, to his friends. And if you were to ask the question, which I think is a logical one, who wrote the letter, who is the letter addressed to, and when was it written, you are on the path to knowledge. You're on the path to wisdom. If you ask the question, who and what culture gave rise to this, and what was the history surrounding this book and the literature of the Bible, you'd be on your way to understanding the Word of God. Is everything, therefore, God's Word? Is everything in the Scriptures of equal weight and equal value? Or are there words in the Scriptures that are primarily human words, not God's words? And how do you tell the difference? And of all the texts that we have before us, what I do each week with you is interpret them. That's my job. What I'm doing right now with you is an interpretation of the Scriptures for today's reading. What I do every Sunday is try to do my very best to interpret to you what I think the Scriptures mean. But it is still an interpretation. It is still something that is coming out of a human being. To deny human interpretation, therefore, in terms of understanding the Scriptures, is to deny reality. Why do we have different books? Why are they in different orders? If you go to the Jewish Bible, it's differently ordered, their Old Testament, than our Old Testament. If you go to the Catholic Bible, it has books that we don't even consider sacred in it. Why is that? Why are the Gospels different? Why are Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John different in how they present Jesus to us? Are there any similarities between them? If so, what and how and why? When we take the Bible literally, we end up doing great damage to people. We end up with things like the Spanish Inquisition, right? If you take seriously that it's your job to save other people, then you'll go to any length to save them, even at killing them, so that they can get into heaven. That's what it was about. The Spanish Inquisition was about forcing Jewish people to accept Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior, and they would do this even at the cost of putting them to death so that they could be guaranteed themselves that they would somehow get into heaven. That was the thinking around the Spanish Inquisition. Or it leads to the denial of science and reason, that somehow God created a mind and a brain to observe the universe and then asked us to put it on a shelf when we gather for worship. We end up with arrogance then, rather than literacy. We end up with oppression rather than freedom. So Scripture needs and has always needed to be interpreted and has always been interpreted. Jesus, for example, often speaks in paradox. He says things like, if you want to save your life, you have to lose it. Those who will be last will be first, and the first will be last. He speaks in parables about God's coming kingdom, likening it to yeast or likening it to a mustard seed. And because his words are not always obvious to us, I have come to realize that it takes both insight to discern their meaning and hard work, repetition, knowing it over and over, going back to it over and over, and patience to wait for the meaning to emerge. And it can change over time. The meaning of Scripture can change over time. How I understand a passage of Scripture today at 61 years of age is so much different than what I understood it to be at age 20, right? It's totally different. I find the best word to describe this experience that we all seem to want or need as insight. Wisdom is another word for it. Insight isn't something that you can give to yourself or I can give to myself. Insight is a gift that comes because of God's Holy Spirit opening up a new door, a new aha moment when you're studying something that you hadn't seen before, which comes and goes as it pleases. But it is always in us, as evidenced by the very fact that we're here breathing. Today, when I listen to those, and I'm not talking about people in the pews now, I'm talking about my colleagues, talking about other religious leaders around the country. When I listen to those who claim the name and label of Christ follower, I don't think of Jesus or of the disciples of Christ. More often than not, what I think of are the Pharisees and the scribes. For the Pharisees and the scribes knew their Bible verses very well, chapter and verse. They had it memorized. They could recite backwards and forwards the text, but yet they bring no insight to the text that they're commenting on. And that's why Jesus says to the crowds, "You have heard it said, but I say to you," which is Jesus' way of saying, "I'm offering you a new interpretation, something you have not heard before, something that is still contained in the scriptures, but has been overlooked by all of my colleagues." And he has been doing this, and we have been doing this for thousands of years. There is so much more to knowing scripture than simply spewing out chapter and verse. And usually when we do that, what we're doing is spewing out something that we're not in danger of falling prey to. In other words, heterosexuals condemning homosexuals, right? If you're a heterosexual and you're condemning homosexuals as a sin, well, that's no challenge. It's not your sin, right? There is this thing that we call the living word of God, which means not all of the words in the scriptures carry the same weight at the same time. Some words are meant to reflect the human condition rather than God's intent. For example, happy is the one who seizes your infants and dashes them against a rock. This is the word of the Lord. No, it's not. This is the word of a person who's in exile and they are upset with the way they've been treated for a couple hundred years, and they want to get back at their enemy, and they hate their enemy. And the psalmist is honest enough to tell us how much they hate the enemy, and the much that they hate is that, "I would gladly take your little ones," the psalmist says, "and I would break their heads against a rock." That's horrible. That's not the word of God. That's the word of man. It is not equal to the words that are in the New Testament lesson. Then Jesus took a small child in his arms and he said to the disciples, "Whoever welcomes one of these children in my name welcomes not only me, but also God." That is the delight of God in God's children. The words of the psalmist are the words of humanity's hatred, and they are the words of human fear and anger. The words of Mark's gospel are the words of God's delight and joy in children, all of God's children. And still other words are directives from God, words very clear, not hard to understand, words like, "Come and follow. Come on, just follow me. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength, and your neighbor as yourself." Pretty clear. "Go feed the hungry, clothe the naked, visit those in prison." Pretty clear. "Make disciples of all nations. Go, train, do, repeat." Go, do, train, repeat. In this way, we learn what Scripture means, and we are constantly learning it in a new way every time we open the Scriptures in our life and go back to them. Because there will be something in your life that will resonate because you have lived an experience that you had not lived before when you open that Bible up. It's called experience. Aristotle said that the way we know what truth is in the world is through two things: reason, the ability to logically think to things, and our experience of things. That's how we come to know truth. That was Aristotle's definition. Jesus says, "I am the way, I am the truth, and I am the life." So therefore, we need to look to the individual Jesus to see what that truth is, to follow that way, and then to get that abundance of life that he offers. And we have to stop making our personal biases the biases of God. And then we need to begin to look. We need to begin to listen. We need to begin to ask good questions. which leads to learning and leads to wisdom. That's why Jesus tells you and me, these things I have spoken to you, and they have been revealed to me to offer to you who have the eyes to see and the ears to hear. And how do we get these eyes and ears that Jesus is asking us to open up and look at and listen with? By asking questions, by revising our thinking based upon new evidence and new experience and new insights. We call our Bible the New Revised Standard Version, which means the Bible can and has obviously been revised. It once was the King James Version. It's no longer that. Why? Because we don't speak with these and thous anymore. We don't speak in Old English. We speak American English. It's very different. Which means the Bible has been revised over time. It's been revised since they started writing it down in the original language and passing it on. It was revised by the very gospel writers who said, I like this ending better than that ending to the story. And I'm going to use this one because that was our community's experience of Jesus. Can the same therefore be said of our opinions of the Bible? Do we revise them ever? Or do we just simply hold on to the same thought we've always had over and over and over and then wonder why there's no joy in our lives? My ultimate cynicism isn't with the Bible. It's with those who claim to believe in Jesus and then do and say everything that contradicts the way that he is depicted in the scriptures. Just knowing the literal words of the Bible is not enough. Never has been. You must discern their meaning. Love the Lord your God and your neighbor as yourself is not equal to I will take great delight in dashing thy little ones against a rock. That's what the season of Pentecost is all about, you see. The Spirit has now been given to us. Can you see the Spirit? Do you know where it's going? Do you know where it's coming from? I sure don't. But the Spirit, we are told, will lead us into all truth, which means that experiences will change as we grow older. And as we hopefully become wiser from those experiences, so should our ideas of God change. But know this, at the core, any God that you worship who is not the God that is portrayed by Jesus is a fake and a phony. The Lord your God is a loving God, is a caring God, is a powerful God, powerful enough to raise the dead back to life. But God does not use the same tools and mechanisms that we so readily want to adopt, like forcing people to do things and believe things, like hurting people in order for them to say that they're Christ followers. No, our God loves us with an open hand and allows us to choose every moment of every day whether to say yes or to say no to Jesus. And in this way, by following him, by following the images and the stories that are in the scriptures, by following Paul's insights into who Jesus was for his community, we begin to see, hey, those might be the same experiences we're having to this day. And maybe, just maybe, we ought to look at it from the perspective of it being the living word of God rather than some ancient history text that's dead, set in stone, and everybody can understand it from the get-go. Amen.
will.